Good morning and happy Veterans Day. Just a few announcements before we begin worship. And I don't know if you noticed a flag outside. But I want to thank, we've got a lot of thanks to give this morning. I want to thank Shreve and Doug and Jim, who climbed up on the roof of the church this morning and did not fall off, but did display the beautiful flag for us. So thanks to them. Thanks to Millie, who's going to play taps as our benediction response. So thank you for that. Well, you're going to do it, so I might as well tell everybody who's going to be playing. Anyway, okay. And I also have to say this morning, I thought we were going to be a little bit late because the whole choir is here. And I've been telling them if we could ever get the whole choir here at one time, we'd take a picture. So we did. It's great. And I especially want to thank Miss Betty for the beautiful prelude of patriotic music. So we've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. We'll have lunch in the annex after worship, and in special honor of all of our veterans. But everybody's welcome to come eat. But we do want the veterans to feel like we appreciate them, because we certainly do. Now this week, we will have a Bible study at the stairs on Thursday. Looking forward to that. And another opportunity for lunch will be on Thursday. The New Christian Fellowship Church is hosting a fundraising lunch for Christian Volunteer Service. And I know we're all interested in helping out CVS. So if you want to help out, go over to New Christian Fellowship on Thursday at around noon, and they will have a spaghetti lunch to raise funds for CVS. Finally, I would remind everybody, we're trying to do the live streaming of the sermon portion of our service on Facebook, and it helps if everybody will put their phones or tablets or whatever they have on airplane mode. That helps with the uploading of whatever, and if I knew what I was talking about, I would keep going on, but I don't. But let us be called to worship with these words. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's worship our God as we stand to sing his praise. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, you have been our resting place in all generations. You have blessed us with freedom, and you have protected us through war and depression, through pestilence and fear. You have blessed us with the bravery of those we celebrate on this Veterans Day. Most of all, you have blessed us with the bravery of Christ, who took the penalty of our sins upon himself, laying down his life so that we might be free from bondage to sin and death. Be with us now in this hour of worship. Help us to worship you as you deserve, for we come in the name of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your hymnals. Our responsive reading today is found in the back of the hymnal, selection 646. Selection 646 on this Veterans Day. We remember that we are all called into a form of warfare, a spiritual warfare, and that means we got to be ready. So I'll read the light face print of selection 646, which comes from three different places in the New Testament, and I'll ask you all to respond with the bold-faced print. Let's read these portions of God's word responsively. Paul writes, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places.
Therefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm.
Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you can withstand all the flaming darts of the evil one.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. For though we live in the world, we are not carrying on a worldly war. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but have divine power to destroy strongholds.
We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Let's be ready for the struggle which faces us. And turning in our hymnals to selection 470, Onward Christian Soldiers. We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Thank you.
We have sung of the faith of the Church of God. Let us now confess that faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. They are found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
You may be seated. Now, on this Veterans Day, we want to take just a moment to recognize those who have served in our armed forces. Now, what I'm going to ask all veterans to do, if you have served in active or in reserves, or if you've served in the armed forces of the United States, would you please just at this time stand so we can recognize and thank you. You may be seated. And I'm hoping, Michelle, since you've got that nice big camera, if we could have our veterans, not now, after the service, if we could have our veterans gather around the flagpole and get a picture of them before they go into lunch, which is our real way of saying thank you. We're going to have a nice lunch for you all in the annex after worship. But if we could have a picture of all the veterans around the flag, that would be great. And the other way we're going to recognize our veterans today is that years ago our congregation posted a list of those who had served their country, and it's in the narthex, and several wars later we need to add to that list. And so this is a supplement to our roll of honor that will be hung in the narthex. Now I know there may be some spelling that needs to be changed or some names that need to be added. So it'll be in the annex during lunch if you want to take a look at it and remember some of these folks, and then let me know if any corrections or additions need to be made. And then we'll frame the final version and have it in the narthex as a supplement to the roll of honor that is already there. And now as we prepare for our time of prayer, let's take up our hymnals. We'll turn to hymn number 2. This hymn began as the Navy hymn, and then it was rewritten to include asking God to protect those who are traveling on land and air as well as on the sea. And so this hymn is appropriate to honor all those who go in the service of their country or who go in the service of their Lord. We'll sing all 4 stanzas of hymn number 2, and let us stand to sing. You may be seated. The Lord has indeed given us many reasons to be thankful and many people to whom to express our thanks as well. I hope we'll take the opportunity to do that today. But first, let's take the opportunity to praise the Lord for all the blessings He has poured out upon us as a people, as His people. Let us pray. Lord, our Lord, how faithful You are, how Your mercies never fail. Lord, how faithful You are to make promises to us that never waver, promises of protection and salvation, promises to be with us, to love us, to care for us, to guide us. Lord, we thank You that You are a faithful God. But Lord, we have to confess that it is so easy for us to forget all Your promises. It's so easy for us to forget Your faithfulness and instead to give in to fear. It's so easy, O Lord, for us to forget Your might and Your majesty and to fall into selfishness. But we thank You, our Father, for Jesus Christ, who came to us even in our fear, even in our faithlessness, even in our doubt, even in our sin. We thank You, O Lord, for Jesus Christ, who died, even for those who despised Him, even for those who rejected Him. And we thank You for the peace that He has brought to all those who trust in Him. Peace with You and freedom from bondage to sin and death. We thank You for all these wonderful blessings we have in Christ. And Lord, we would also thank You for the blessings You poured out upon us as a nation. We thank You for the peace and the freedom that we enjoy in this country, the ability to worship You in a beautiful room with big windows that we don't have to worry about people throwing rocks through. We thank You, O Lord, for the freedom we have and for the veterans that You have provided, all those whom You called into Your service, who have given their time and their blood so that we might be free. And we would pray, O Lord, this day for all the veterans who have served over the years. Lord, we thank You for those who gave the best years of their life in service of others, who took the time to help, to give. Lord, we pray You would grant them grace to bear the physical and emotional scars of their service, whatever those scars may be. And we pray, our Father, for the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, and the Marines who continue in the service of their country, who go all around the world to protect us and to protect others. We thank You, O Lord, for them. We pray that You would bless them. And Father, we thank You for other servants of Yours who go around the world to spread Your gospel. We pray for our missionaries, especially those who are participating in our Engage 2025 projects. Those who are preaching the gospel to refugees, calling them out of darkness into Your marvelous light. Thank You, Lord, for those You call into Your service. And we ask this day that You would help us never to forget the sacrifices that our veterans have made for us. Never let us forget the sacrifices that our missionaries have made so that others might come to know Christ. But most of all, Lord, help us never to forget the sacrifice of Christ, the sacrifice He made on our behalf. Remind us every day of Your love for us and make us truly grateful that we might live lives that are pleasing to You. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ and for His sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His faithfulness endures to all generations. Let us worship God as we give unto him his tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, you are the giver of all good gifts. We pray that you would accept these gifts that we offer to you, but Lord, we ask that you would not only take of our substance today, but that you would take of ourselves, that you would use us, all that we are and all that we have, for your glory. And we pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Veterans Day, our scripture reading comes from John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 21. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on the night of the Last Supper, right before he would be betrayed and offer up the sacrifice for all of us. And this is what Jesus called his disciples to do. Jesus said, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Thus far God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate upon it today. Well, it was on this day of the year, at this hour, the 11th hour, that what has come to be known as the First World War came to an end in 1918, 100 years ago. That hour was supposed to mark the conclusion of what President Wilson called the war to end war. He also called it a war to make the world safe for democracy. Well, He wasn't exactly right, was he? All the veterans who served in all the wars over the last century can attest to that fact. And no, Wilson wasn't right because, in spite of all of his burning idealism, he forgot some basic, stubborn truths about sin and about the human race, truths that he should have learned in his upbringing as a Presbyterian minister's son. And in today's passage, Jesus warned his disciples about some of these truths. He told them that the world, that those who rejected Jesus would reject Jesus' followers also. Jesus said that his followers in the world were diametrically opposed. Jesus said that while his disciples follow the law of love, the unbelieving world only understands hate. It is this tendency to hate, to focus on the self while attempting to harm others, to focus on the self while denying the sovereignty of God. It's this that has, in one way or another, motivated all the wars since Armistice Day. Indeed, all the killing and all the violence that have racked this world throughout all of human history. It was hate. Hatred of the Bolsheviks and the Jews that motivated Hitler's attempt to conquer Europe. It's hate. Hatred of the infidel that motivates modern Islamic radicals to blow themselves up in an attempt to kill their enemies. It's hate. Hatred of others, and all too often hatred of the self, that motivates so many of the mass murderers that have become all too common in our headlines today. No, if everyone lived according to the words that Jesus spoke in today's passage, if everyone saw the benefit of living according to love rather than according to hate, well, then maybe Wilson could have been right. Maybe then all the representatives of all the countries in the world could have sat down in one League of Nations and have worked out their problems, just like President Wilson thought they should. But because we're all sinners, because we're all inclined to live according to hate and fear and selfishness at times, and because the unbelieving world remains stubbornly opposed to the Lordship of Christ, well, we continue to have wars. Even a century after the war to end war. No, until Jesus comes back, churches like ours will be forced to continue to add names to their lists of veterans, honoring them for their service. So why does the church make a special effort to honor veterans? It's obvious why the government does. After all, veterans fought in the service of their country. It makes sense for the federal government to have two holidays every year, Memorial Day and Veterans Day, to remember the service of brave soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. But why does the church honor veterans? Well, I should think it would be difficult for the church to honor veterans in some countries. It would be hard for the church in China or Cuba or the Sudan to honor the men who carry out the orders of tyrants who are depriving them of their religious liberties. But however strongly all the cynical history professors may object, America and her servicemen have been different. Throughout our history, we have been much more likely to try to use our military power for good rather than for evil. And this hasn't just involved wars. Some of you may remember when the communists surrounded West Berlin right after World War II and threatened to starve its citizens. It was American planes that flew 4,500 tons of supplies every day to feed 2 million people living there. Who couldn't celebrate such a daring and selfless act? More recently, how many times have we seen our Navy sent to foreign shores to help countries recover from earthquakes and tsunamis? After Saddam Hussein was toppled in Iraq, how many stories did we read about our servicemen reaching out to the victims of his regime, helping people with medical needs, helping to rebuild infrastructure, trying to get that war-torn country back on its feet? In other words, so many of our American servicemen have been just that, servants of their fellow men. They have been the hands and feet of America, allowing us as a nation to use the tremendous might and wealth that God gave us for the good of those in need. And that is something the church can celebrate. For that is exactly the sort of thing Jesus commanded all of his followers to do in today's passage, to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain. But there is a greater form of love than just works of charity, as important as those may be. Jesus said the greatest expression of love is to lay down one's life for one's friends. And the church can celebrate our veterans because all of them have expressed their willingness to do just that. From the heroes of our own Revolutionary War to those who fought for freedom in the war between the states, American soldiers time and time again have put themselves in harm's way to protect their loved ones. Now, we have had our selfish moments. We did go to war with Mexico to gain territory. We fought the Spanish-American War for admittedly mixed motives at best. No reasonably informed person can deny that we have some black marks on our record. But from the time of the First World War to the present, America has played a unique role on the world stage, a role that should be shocking to any honest student of world history. President Wilson summed up our attitude in April of 1917 as our country prepared to enter the First World War. This is what he said. "We have no selfish ends to serve. We desire no conquest, no dominion." That was true. The fact is, in 1917, for most Americans, the Germans and the Austrians and the Turks posed no direct personal threat to their lives or even their prosperity. And nevertheless, American soldiers, sailors, and Marines were willing to leave their farms and families and travel across the submarine-infested waters of the Atlantic to fight. And 49,000 of them laid down their lives, not for the spoils of conquest, but so that Frenchmen and Belgians could be free. And the fact is that American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines did the same thing again some 20 years later. 10 times as many American servicemen died in that effort to destroy the murderous, racist fantasies of power-crazed maniacs. And yet, in spite of the tremendous sacrifices in dollars and lives, not an inch of territory was added to the United States after either war. Even more amazingly, as soon as World War II was over, we spent billions of dollars helping our former foes recover from the devastation their own aggression had caused. Germany and Japan are free democracies today and provide vigorous competition for American industry because America refused to use her might for selfish ends. And it didn't stop there, did it? I remember one time a few years ago, Colonel Kim came from South Korea to speak to the Chamberlain Hunt cadets. And on that occasion, he thanked the United States for the freedom South Korea enjoys today. America, he said, should be proud of the way we have extended the blessings of freedom around the world. Now, we Americans have not always been wise. We've not always been successful. The people of Vietnam suffered for years from the chaos and the communism that ensued with the withdrawal of our troops. And only time will tell whether the people of Iraq and Afghanistan will learn the need for division of power and the rule of law, things that are critical for the flourishing of successful democracy. But this one historical fact cannot be denied. Never in the history of the world has any one country held such unmatched power and at the same time been content to wield it so largely for the good of others. In contrast, we don't have to wonder what Alexander the Great would have done with that kind of power, or Julius Caesar, or Genghis Khan, or Muhammad, or Charles V, or Louis XIV, or Napoleon, or Bismarck, or Hitler, or Stalin, or on and on and on. We know what they would have done. With such tremendous comparative advantages of wealth and technology and firepower, they would have laid waste to the countries around them, building ever larger monuments to their own glory and might. That is the way of the world. But that is not the way of America. And that is why Christians can wholeheartedly celebrate the sacrifices of our veterans here in this country. In contrast to those great conquerors from other cultures, our veterans have displayed the selfless, self-sacrificial character of Christ in a very real way. Yes, even though many of the veterans who served in this century fought not so much for the freedom of Americans as for the freedom of Englishmen and Frenchmen and Belgians and Filipinos and Koreans and Vietnamese and Grenadians and Kosovars and Kuwaitis and Iraqis and Afghanis, but they fought as bravely as they would have for their own people. They fought on behalf of those whose languages they did not understand, often on behalf of those whose faith they did not share. Sometimes they fought for those who seemed ungrateful at best or hostile at worst. They fought and they bled and they suffered on behalf of others, and some even laid down their lives so that others might be free. And isn't that the same sort of thing that Jesus did for us? For you know, even as he spoke those beautiful words we just read, those words at the Last Supper, he knew, he predicted that the very disciples who were hanging on his every word would, before that night was over, turn their backs on him and deny him and betray him. He went to the cross alone, but he still laid down his life for undeserving, ungrateful sinners like them, for undeserving, ungrateful sinners like us. And that is why the church celebrates and should celebrate its veterans, because they provide an object lesson for us, a concrete, living, breathing example of what it means to live a life of selfless, self-sacrificial, unconditional service. But if we would be faithful to their memory, and if we would be faithful to our Lord, we must not stop there. We must not stop with simple thanks. No, we must follow their example of selfless, self-sacrificial, unconditional service if we are to follow the example Christ set for them. Now, that doesn't mean we all need to run off and enlist, but it does mean we can honor and encourage those who do. We can respect their bravery and support them and their families when they are deployed overseas. We can provide willing and sympathetic ears to listen to their stories. We can provide patient and generous hearts to help them bear their scars, both physical and psychological. But how can we follow their example? Well, we can do what Jesus told us in today's passage. We can love one another as Christ loved us. Now, I know we usually think of love as some kind of a mushy feeling, and I would guess that most servicemen would be quite uncomfortable being presented as exemplars of love. But when Jesus talked about love, he had something different in mind, something that could be as easily expressed in a foxhole as in a bedroom. That's because for Jesus, love meant a relentless determination to bless the beloved, no matter the cost, no matter what sacrifice was required, no matter whether he was loved in return. For Jesus, love was an action. And it is as they have put such selfless, determined, unconditional love into action that our servicemen provide us with such a powerful example for our lives where we are. So, if we would follow the example of our veterans, if we would follow the example of our Lord, we can do where we are in our spheres of life the same thing they did and that they do. We can lay down our lives, our plans, our dreams, our pleasures, our goals, so that others might have a better life, might have peace and freedom. It won't be easy. Self-sacrifice never is. It may require some radical changes in our spending. It may require some changes in our time commitments, in our priorities. It may require some pain and suffering. For whenever we enter relationships with those who are hurting, we can't help but share in their hurts. We can't help but weep with those who weep. Life gets messy when you try to help hurting people. But such selfless, determined love, building these relationships, can also bring great joy. That's why Jesus said he gave us this commandment to love. Why? So that his joy would be in us, so that our joy would be full. Now, I don't know this, but I imagine that it is a joy for our veterans to think of the freedom, the peace, the security that so many people have because of what they did. So wouldn't it be a joy for the rest of us to be able to look back on lives well spent in the service of others, lives self-consciously devoted to the service and the glory of Christ, lives that carried his light and his truth and his love into a dark, hate-filled world that needs him so much? Will we live that life? Will we follow Jesus? Let's take up our hymnals and ask ourselves that question. This hymn asks that question, will we follow Jesus? Hymn 460. We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing. May that be our prayer this week, that we would be on the side of the Lord, on the side of love and truth and justice and purity, that we would take the light and the truth of Jesus Christ into a world that needs him so much. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.